Well, good morning, girls and boys. We're turning this morning to a different portion because I want to set aside our usual Bible study that we have been following and take up a different topic. I'd like you, therefore, to turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the chapter 3. And at the end of this chapter, there is recorded a very treacherous act by one of David's chief men, Joab. It was an act born of jealousy. He thought that King David was about to form a friendship with one who had been opposed to David, but whose attitude and mind and heart had been changed, and he was coming over now to David's side. But he had been such a great warrior that the head of David's army, Joab, saw him as a threat to his position. And so, most treacherously, he killed the man, whose name was Abner. The killing greatly vexed David. And he showed his vexation before the people. He was full of sorrow and grief, and he wept openly at the death of this great man. And we read at the end of the chapter 3 these words, beginning at verse 36. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. When wrong has been done, boys and girls, we should ever make every effort to show that we had nothing to do with it. And David was showing here, by his weeping and grief and sorrow, that he had nothing to do with the wicked murder of Abner. But it goes on, and we're reading the verse 38, and the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men the sons of Zeruiah. I want you to learn that Zeruiah was David's sister. The sons, there were three of them, and the chief of them was Joab. And David here in this verse 39 is saying, no, I'm king, yet I'm weak. Before these sons of Zeruiah, they're too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. These were hard men. You might think that that's a modern phrase, but like so many phrases in our English language, their common use is the result of the Bible once being commonly understood amongst the English-speaking people. And when we speak of hard men, David spoke of hard men long, long ago. The verse I want you to pay attention to today is what David said to his servants, verse 38, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? As I said, I'm departing from our usual Bible study in order today to take up a different subject. I want to pay tribute to a man, Mr. George McConnell of Mourne Free Presbyterian Church, of which he was an elder and one of the very first members, a founding member. And today his funeral is taking place in that church. And I want to pay tribute to him for a number of reasons. And I think the words of this verse that is before us, the words of David, are very suitable to use when referring to Mr. George McConnell. Mr. McConnell went to be with the Lord very early on the Sabbath morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. He entered what we might call his eternal Sabbath. For heaven is pictured in the Sabbath day. It's a day of rest, of peace, when all labor stops and we gather to worship the Lord. Well, that's what heaven's all about. And on the Lord's Day morning, Mr. McConnell was ushered by the Lord into his presence in glory. Mr. McConnell was a friend of mine and a very dear brother in Christ. But more than that, he was one whose labors and stand for the Lord Jesus have benefited you all here. You might never have heard of Mr. McConnell, and I think it's probably safe to say you never met him, and yet he benefited you all here. I first met him back in 1966. That to me seems like yesterday. But to you, why, it's a very, 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 very long time ago. In 1966, Dr. Paisley, the Reverend John Wiley, and myself had been in prison for 3 months. And when we came out, I might say that we came out into a very different Ulster from the Ulster we left and went into prison. Because during the 3 months, God was very pleased to stir the people of Ulster and arouse them to give consideration to the subject of just where the churches back then were going and how the evil men in the pulpits of the churches were leading the people astray from God, as were the politicians. So when we came out to an Ulster very anxious to have, well, I have to say, to have Dr. Paisley and the Reverend John Wiley come and visit them in different areas. I was brought along as well because I was one of those that was in prison. But it was chiefly Dr. Paisley and also Mr. Wiley they wanted to hear. And very soon after we got out, we were invited to Kilkeel to a welcome home rally. It was held on the property of a man called Mr. Charlie Campbell. He later became a faithful member of the new Free Presbyterian Church that was formed there in Kilkeel. And that rally took place but a few days after we got out of prison. And it was at that rally I would have met those men who became the foundation members of the church in Kilkeel, and amongst those men was Mr. George McConnell. From that time, I formed a firm friendship with Mr. McConnell. I found him one of a like mind myself. I was often in the area of Kilkeel. From that time, I conducted a number of gospel missions in and around that area, and of course I visited the church in Kilkeel on quite a number of occasions. Mr. McConnell loved the Lord, and he loved the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw very clearly the threat to it that the ecumenical churches presented. He had been a member of a Presbyterian church there in Kilkeel, and he left it because of where it was going. Theologically, it was mixed up with a movement, an organization that was doing everything it could to destroy the gospel. And Mr. McConnell saw this, and because he loved the gospel, he was getting out of that church. And as I say, he became a founding member of the new Free Presbyterian Church. And thereafter, he was ever ready to support the gospel and to protest against all that was contrary to the gospel. There was one protest that he would have been involved in. It struck me at the time, and I've always remembered it. Now, I wasn't there. But shortly after this, the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, his name was Captain Terence O'Neill, and he was an ecumenical man, believed in what the ecumenical churches taught. And he visited Kilkeel, and just outside it, on the Analong side of Kilkeel, he was coming along, he and all the officials and all the people in the area who supported him, and a group of men, including Mr. McConnell, held a protest. And what they did was, there was a tall ditch along the side of the road, and they got up on it. So that the way I'm standing now on the platform looking down at you, they were standing up on this ditch looking down on Captain Terence O'Neill and his officials as they passed. And they had placards protesting against what it was he stood for, and also containing verses of scripture. And because they knew they couldn't really reach him apart from showing what was on the placards, they did something which I admired, the ingenuity of it. from that day, and I've never forgotten, and when I heard about it, I said, boy, that was great. What they did, very simply, was when Captain Terence O'Neill was just passing, they kept the placards facing outward, and they just turned their back on him, and the whole row of men just turned their back, and kept their back toward him as he passed. That was a most effective declaration that they rejected him and all he stood for. They turned their back on him. I've never forgotten that. And that's a way back. It must have been 1966 or 67. That's a long time ago. It's over 50 years ago. Yes, Mr. McConnell, along with his friends, were lovers of the gospel and prepared to take a stand for it. They got plenty of abuse that day from those who supported Captain Terence O'Neill, but that didn't deter them. What's very important for us here today is that Mr. McConnell was a supporter of Christian education, helping in the formation of a Christian school, a very good Christian school up there, in the congregation of Mourne. He served on the management committee of that school, and he also was a member of the education board until very recently, when illness really caused him to step down, but he was a member of the education board of the presbytery, helping, guiding all schools and encouraging the teachers of them. The stand taken by Mr. McConnell and those like him back then was that of our Protestant forefathers. What he and others did was nothing more and nothing less than just a going back to the stand and the views taken by our Protestant forefathers and by the Puritans and by the Reformers. They were just, as it were, stepping into their shoes and upholding the same truths and the same standards as did those men and women of God, long, long ago. They were holding up the Bible and calling on the nation to heed it and to obey it. He carried the banner of the gospel high in a day when compromise. You know what compromise means? Compromise is just simply giving in, stepping back from doing what's right. Days of compromise and backsliding saw Mr. McConnell taking a firm stand for the truth of God. This coming generation, and I'm referring to you and to all in the Free Presbyterian Church who are of your age group, this coming generation owe much to Mr. McConnell and his bold faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. This school here has enjoyed support from him and from his family. You didn't know that the facilities here, what you work with by way of books, equipment, Mr. McConnell was among those who helped to provide such things for you. This afternoon in Kilkeel, a funeral farewell is taking place of one of whom we might justifiably say with David of old, those words we read, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" That may well be said of Mr. McConnell. And I want just to close by making a few comments on those words. First of all, I'd like you to note that these are the words of the king. David was no ordinary king. There were many kings in the world back in David's time, but only David was God's anointed king. Only David. David was a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus carries the title of the Son of David because the Lord Jesus, when he was born, taking onto himself human nature, took onto himself human nature that could be traced back to the family of David. So, when we read these words, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" It was God's king said that. You know, boys and girls, we sang the little hymn at the beginning, well known, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word." It is then that King Jesus will speak well of us, even as David spoke here of Abner. That should be the chief objective and ambition in our lives, boys and girls, to please the Lord, so that when we leave this world, we will be met with His kind words. Well done. Well done. We all like to be told that what we have done is good. I've seen your faces when you have been told that you did well in an exam, or you did well in some function or duty in the school, or on sports day, you did well. I've seen your faces beaming, happy. It's nice to be told, well done. But oh, we ought to seek above all praise the well done of the Lord Jesus. And we can only obtain that by walking with Him, obeying Him, believing in Him, standing for Him, the way Mr. McConnell did. I want you to notice something else as well. You remember what I've told you? I don't know how many times I've told you, take note of every word when you look at a verse. Look what it says. The very first words are, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" Surely that suggests to us that not everybody that day understood Abner was a prince and a great man. Know ye not? Are some of you today in ignorance concerning who it is that has been murdered? He was a prince and a great man. Don't you know that? You see, boys and girls, the greatness of holy men, of Christians, is very often hid to human eyes all around. It was so with the Lord Jesus. There were many hundreds, thousands and thousands of people who looked on the Lord Jesus and they went away saying, "I don't see anything special about Him." In fact, there were many, many who not only just said, "I don't see anything special about Him," but they said, "I see that which is hateful in Him. I don't like Him. People praise Him. I don't see any reason to praise Him. I don't like Him. Don't like what He says." Any amount of people thought the worst of things about the Lord Jesus. And of course, thinking that about the Lord Jesus, the world thinks also the same about His people. Here's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Listen to these words. Speaking of himself and his fellow apostles and laborers in the gospel, he says of them, "Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourings of all things unto this day." Do you know what it is to scour something? Now you girls surely know what that means. You've seen Mammy do that. Some dirty pot and pouring a little water over it doesn't remove from it what she wants to remove. She's got to get her sleeves rolled up and maybe one of those little metal wire bundles, a scrubbing, scouring pad, and she gets into it and she rubs and she rubs and she rubs to remove the dirt from the pot or pan. And then she rinses it out. That's the off scourings. And Paul says us about the value people put on us. We're just like what you scrape off a dirty pot or a dirty pan. We are as the off scouring unto this day. The world holds a very poor view of the people of God. And you need to get used to that, boys and girls, because if you serve the Lord and walk with Him, that's the attitude that will be adopted toward you. And David is saying, "Do you not understand what a great man has fallen today?" He called him a prince. Well, in truth, you know, although I'm sure there are plenty around Kilkeel who would smirk at me saying this, Mr. McConnell was a prince and a great man, though not recognized as such by too many. Yes, these are the words of God's King. And these words indicate that not all understand that God's people are a great people. And one last thing. King David wanted everyone that day to share his opinion of Abner. He wanted everybody to see Abner as he saw him. Oh, that every eye could understand the wonders of the Lord Jesus and the blessings that belong to his people. If a person sees the Lord Jesus as a wonderful person, the Redeemer of the world, they'll want to be one of his people. They'll want to be one of his followers. The blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord did, and healed him of his blindness. And immediately we read, Bartimaeus stood up, and he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. I've often thought, you know, that that man must have had 100 things he would want to do once he got his eyesight. There were things he wanted to see, people he wanted to see, places he wanted to go. He had never been able to, being blind. But when he received his sight, the first thing he did was follow Jesus. Because there's no more wonderful person to see and to hear and to follow than the Lord Jesus. Oh, that we might understand what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. Oh, that the world might understand what a glorious thing it is to be saved. Mr. McConnell has entered into the glory of his Redeemer. You know, you and I here today, we can talk of this and say this, and it's a truth, but we can't really comprehend. We can't comprehend. I look down there at the back, the two doors, but I can't see beyond them. There could be anybody standing out there, but I can't see them. Likewise, you and I can look up heavenward, but we can't see into it. What it's like, we have only the faintest ideas. But Mr. McConnell today has seen the King in his beauty. He's in the presence of the Lord of glory. As will all who are saved one day, we'll see the King. And we'll be owned by him. Just you think of it. One day the Lord Jesus, if you're saved, will take you by the hand. Take you by the hand. People who meet with the Queen to be honoured by her very rarely shake her hand. She gives them the medal, prize, whatever it is, but very rarely it ever gets to anything more close than that. One day the Lord will take us by the hand. He'll not just usher millions into heaven and that's it. He will greet each one personally. He'll know your name. He'll know all about you. Because you have been his and he has watched over you all your days. Aye, there's a glorious day coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 10 says, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." The Lord Jesus is going to be glorified by us. He's going to be admired because of us. The men of the lifeboat who go out on a terrible stormy night and pluck from the sea those who have been cast into the sea by the sinking of their ship. When they bring those survivors to the shore, people are there to help the survivors, wrap them up and make them as comfortable as possible, but also they shake the lifeboat men by the hand and they say, "Well done." The men are admired for what they did. And in like fashion, when all the saints are gathered, the Lord Jesus will be admired because he rescued every single one of them from eternal hell, from everlasting ruin, and he'll be admired in their rescue. Will he be admired in you? Are you showing forth the fruits of Christ's rescuing power and mercy? Have you been saved by him? And are you therefore reason for the Lord to be admired? All today, I think of the words of John Bunyan's great story told in Pilgrim's Progress when one of Christian's companions, the hero of the book, is carried to heaven. Christian is, as it were, writing and saying, "And I saw the doors open, and my friend was carried in. I saw something of where it was he was going, and the glory of that place, and I wished myself amongst them." You know, when a child of God goes away from this world and goes to be with Christ, I think in every Christian heart there is that same desire. Oh, I wish I was where they are now. Boys and girls, learn from the life of Mr. McConnell. Get saved. Stand for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Serve him all your days. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that you will bless what we have said to thine honor and to the benefit of the boys and the girls, to all gathered here today for Jesus' sake. Bless that service that will take place in a short time up there in Kilkeel. Help your servant who will minister the word. Comfort the family, Lord, with the sweet hopes of glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.